It's Business Baby with Melissa Ambry on Blog Talk Radio. Savvy solutions for your business.
Hi, we're on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening in. It's Business Baby, and we're on with Kathleen Gage today with online marketing. As businesses, we have all the social media, we have all the stuff on the internet, and I'm using the word stuff because sometimes that's exactly what it is, because we get into it and not knowing how to sort through it, not knowing what to do, how to do, what to do first, because it's just so many options out there. But we want to unpuzzle some of that and get out of the stuff and get to a solution to where our businesses can thrive on the internet, and we can really utilize the internet for our online marketing as it should be and not get so cluttered with a lot of the solutions and websites and pages and my friend said, this person said. So we're going to clear up a lot of that today with Ms. Kathleen today. So, Kathleen, how are you today? And thank you for joining us on the show.
Well, thank you, and I am doing great. I'm bearing the heat here in Oregon. We're having an unusually hot summer, so I'm doing great.
Oh, I've been peaceful with this humidity, so.
Well, we're without the humidity. I have to say there's something to be said for no humidity, so got to love it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today and discussing online marketing. So tell us, one, how did you get into that, and how are you able to shuffle through all of the stuff and sort out, what to use and start to really use the internet like it needed to be utilized to brand and to market?
Those are some really good questions, and I actually got started online well over 15 years ago. I actually was one of the early pioneers who, especially in the women's market, there were more men that were involved than women when I first got started. I was usually, if there was a summit or there was a conference, I was usually one of the only women who would attend or speak at the conferences. And I've been involved in marketing for many, many years. I've been involved in sales. And prior to getting involved with online marketing, I was doing offline marketing. I was working with anything from government agencies, municipalities, state agencies, corporations. I scaled that down to small businesses, and then I started working with micro businesses. And when the internet came along, I just took a real liking to it. I found it to be very intriguing, and I think intuitively I knew that it was going to be something really huge in my own business, let alone other people's businesses. So I started way back in the 90s, and it just was something that I found really fit for where I wanted to take my business. And what I realized early on, and this is back in the day before we had good autoresponder programs, we had broadcast messages, we had social media, long before all of that, I remember when I used to market an event in my local market, if you would go to an event and you'd say, how many of you have email? Out of 100 people, maybe two or three would actually have an email address, and it was a real novelty back then. So when you would send somebody an email message back then, they would open it and they'd get pretty excited, and it was back when we had the You've Got Mail. And then it started really going through this whole transformation where more and more people got online, to the point now it's really, for most people, you're one among many. You're getting lost in the shuffle. There's a lot of noise out there. So it really was a matter of me just finding that I had an interest in it and learning. I immersed myself in it. I actually was talking with a colleague of mine today how he used to work 12, 14, 16 hours a day just studying about the internet, and I was doing the same thing. It was like I couldn't get enough of it, and there wasn't a lot of information at that time.
Okay. So you mentioned email, and that, especially today, that's like important, very important. What do you have to say about businesses that's still using Gmail, Yahoo, in email, in Gmail?
Well, you know, I think that there's a purpose for everything. And, I have several Gmail accounts, and I use them for different reasons. I use them usually to subscribe to newsletters and things of that nature. But as far as my business branding, I don't use a Gmail account. And when I see somebody using a Gmail account as their business email account, it actually minimizes what their brand in the marketplace is. And so really one of the things that I recommend to my clients is get an email account that is dedicated to your company name or your name. I have several. One is Kathleen at Power Up for Profits. I've got another Kathleen at KathleenGage.com. I've got another one, Kathleen at Kathleen Gage Premier. And each one has its own purpose. But it's interesting the response I get. Let's say if I go out somewhere and somebody asks for my email address, and I say it's Kathleen at KathleenGage.com, and they're like, "You have your own email address?" It's like, yeah. and it impresses them quite seriously, and that's what you want to do in your business is you want to be able to impress people and impress upon them that you run your business like a business.
Right, and I stress that sometimes to, clients that, I pass through, and it's like, well, why are you still using this? And even in today's society and the way things are run today, and everything is just digital, the question is always asked, well, I have an email address, why can't this work? As long as I have an email address, why should I brand my business in my email? Why should I not use a Yahoo or Gmail? What's wrong
with it? Well, for one, with Yahoo, the deliverability is really in the toilet. And with Gmail has so many protections that it actually can decide for you where your email will end up. And you may not receive an email that somebody sent you, especially if it's sent out in a broadcast. And nowadays, the average open rate for very high traffic industries is anywhere from 7 to 8, maybe 10-15% is the open rate. So you might have 1,000 people on your list, and you send out a broadcast message to the people on your list, and you might have, out of the 1,000 people, if you're lucky, you might have 150 people who actually open up your email. Now, as far as how many people see your email, there's a lot of discussion as to what the real numbers are, but in some cases, like with if you have an AOL account, oh my gosh, get rid of that. Yahoo account, same thing. Gmail is much more reliable, and yet Gmail does filter your emails into areas that you may never see it. So it's really for your own good to really consider what is the perception that you're creating with your potential clients. Because really, it's, when you're going to run a business like a business. And, a lot of people get into business without really understanding what it means to run a business. And, I'm talking down to the very basics of get a DBA, get an accountant or a bookkeeper,
right,
pay your taxes. It's amazing how many people get in trouble. I was reading something the other day where somebody thought that because they were making money online, they didn't have to pay taxes and such. What? You have to pay taxes.
Wow.
And they really believe that they didn't have to. And so what I always advise people, regardless of whether you're doing business online or offline, you have to set your business up like a business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's just really dive deep into and let you just, go into online marketing. You're starting out a business, and of course, they go get a DBA, corporate, whatever direction they decide to go. And, it's time for online marketing. How do they get into that? What's the best way to start research? And how to decipher what's best for your business and not just use what you see somebody else using?
Okay, and those are all great questions. And the first thing that you want to decide is who is your market? Because you may have a market. A lot of people say you have to be on Facebook. That's not necessarily true. You may have a market that doesn't frequent Facebook, and so you really have to be aware of who your market is and where your market hangs out. What blogs do they read? What online publications do they read? What traditional publications do they read? Do they belong to special forums? A great example is I was working with a dentist a few years ago, and his market happened to be other dentists. And he had some people saying, well, you need to be on Facebook because that's where you have to start promoting your products and services. And I did some research for him, and we found out that there was a forum for people in the dental industry that you had to be in the dental industry to be a part of this forum, and there were hundreds of thousands of members of this forum. And the general public knew nothing about this forum, but for somebody who's targeting the dental industry, who's in the dental industry, it was a perfect fit. Because if you think about it, a lot of really high-end professionals like attorneys, doctors, dentists, in that realm, they're not going to be hanging out on Facebook as a general rule. So you want to find out, first of all, who they are and where they hang out. Then based on that, you want to start branding yourself in front of that market. And a great way to do it is to write articles. There are article directories. I've been writing and doing article marketing for probably about 15 years now, and I have hundreds upon hundreds of articles online. And I have three main ones that I actually submit articles to, selfgrowth.com, ezinearticles.com, and evancarmichael.com. But then I also will write articles for much more targeted publications based on the industry. So some of my articles may not be readily available for people to find online if it's with a private directory.
Okay. So can you tell us that again, selfgrowth.com?
Selfgrowth.com is one. And that's more with the spiritual leaning and new thought kind of stuff. Then there's Evan Carmichael, which is very business-oriented. And then there's ezinearticles.com, and it's E-Z-I-N-E articles.com. And that one is probably one of the most popular article directories out there. Now, the other ones that you want to look at would be things like Huffington Post, Inc.com, success.com, and it's harder to get published in those particular areas. However, if you're patient enough and you're consistent enough, eventually you're going to get noticed. And one of the best ways to get noticed with the larger publications, let's say Huffington Post, is to actually start commenting on other people's articles and make it a substantial comment. Don't just say, hey, great article, but add something to the conversation without coming across like a know-it-all or trying to minimize what the author of the article has said. Because really what it is, it's about creating value in whatever you do, and it's about being consistent. And it's not being all things to all people, but it's really being targeted in your approach and looking at a narrow, deep approach to what you're doing. And what many people do is they try to do too much and they spread themselves too thin rather than doing less and going deep into whatever area of expertise that they're focusing on.
Okay. I love the answer. I love how you start to break it down, because I thought that was going to be my next question of, explain the difference between the different websites, and you went into that. And then even hitting on the part of getting noticed by the big boys. So many people, want to, of course, be noticed, and we all do, but what would you say for someone that don't want to, as I say, crawl before you walk? Start with the smaller ones, like the ones you named, Haro, and just kind of start, slowly taking baby steps, getting a feel for things, how it's going, before you just jump straight into a Forbes or Inc. or, the bigger board.
Absolutely. When I first started marketing years and years and years ago, I would talk to people who wanted to, let's say, end up on the Oprah show, or they wanted to end up on Good Morning America, or one of the really big shows. And we always advise them, start in your local market and get really good at what you do in your local market. And by doing that, you will get noticed. And a lot of people aren't willing to put the time in. We live in a very instant gratification society where people want instant results without the effort. And it really is about putting the effort into what you're doing and being consistent. And my recommendation is to write a checklist of 3 to 5 things that you can do every single day, and you consistently do it for 90 days. And recently I had a mastermind meeting with some of my private clients, and I challenged them all to do 30 days of blogging, consistently blog for 30 days. And one of my clients said, well, will you do it? And I said, sure, I'll do it. I'll go ahead and blog for 30 days. Every single day, like clockwork, I was blogging. And what came out of that is I got interviews as a result of it. I got some clients as a result of it because I was blogging about book marketing. I actually got a private consulting contract that was a very, very nice contract as a result of the blogging, and I created a new product as a result of the blogging. And so it was just in that consistency and staying focused that other ideas came up, other opportunities came up, and that's what I always recommend to people is have that consistent effort so that you really are focused on one area that you're going to become very, very skilled at.
Okay. I like that. You know, not only were you giving your clients the challenge, but if I could give it to you, why can't I do it? And you just
absolutely
jumped in there and
absolutely
did the same thing. Right. So, and I believe in that. If you haven't done it or won't do it, why would you want me to do it?
So, absolutely.
I think that, you know, regardless of what business you're in, that you should always be willing to do above and beyond what you're asking your clients to do. So I really do love that you did jump in there with that. What else could you, you know, share with us, some tips and tricks on online marketing and, you know, to taking those next steps?
You know, one of the best ways to get visibility online is to actually write Kindle books, but there's a whole formula behind that. You know, whatever you do have to promote it and market it, but Kindle books are a great resource to build your credibility, your market reach, and to use as a lead generator. Here's just a nice tip and trick on doing Kindle books is when you create a Kindle book, they have the look inside feature, and usually the first 10% of the book will show when somebody's looking through the look inside feature. What you can do is you can actually put a lead generator, some kind of an offer that takes people back to an opt-in page to sign up for something. So even if they don't get your Kindle book, you're still giving them an opportunity to get on your opt-in list. And then what you do is you start building a relationship with them through a series of autoresponder messages and what are called conversion funnels. Conversion funnels are where you bring people into your subscriber list, and then you start with low-priced offers that are very high value, and you ascend people from the low-priced offers into higher-priced offers. But keeping in mind that not all people will want to buy the low-priced offer. Some people want to go right to the top. I have one client last year who paid me a substantial amount of money, showed up to one event that I did, and it was a 3-day event in Portland, Oregon. She showed up to the event. I made an offer for a year-long program. She had never bought any of my other stuff at all. She said, I'm ready to sign up, and I want to pay in full. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I love you, and it's like if I could find more of her, that would be amazing. But most people will start with a low-priced offer, but some will start right at the top, and you have to know that when you have somebody who wants to go into a higher-end offering that you have, don't dissuade them from that. If that's a good fit for them, don't try to get them to get your $7 offer if they want to give you $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000. You really want to honor where they're at. And so you have to meet your clients where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. Okay. So can you explain, you know, I've kind of been, you know, pelling around on your website, Power for Profits, a little bit. And you have an infographic, The Umbrella of Secrecy.
That was actually done. For probably 18 of the 22 years that I've had my business, I did all my own copywriting. And a few years ago, I hired a coach, and she advised that I actually work with a copywriter who could pull things out of me that maybe I didn't even know about myself. And so The copywriter and I, we had several conversations, and he actually was able to extract from me some really amazing information about what my messaging is all about. And the main message I have is for people to quit hiding out, quit going behind the veil of secrecy of who you are, and go out and do what you're here to do. Because I really believe that the people that I attract in my market, they are here to do good things in the world. And it could be in a small corner of the world, it could be in a large corner of the world. But if they're not willing to put themselves out there, if they're not willing to be visible, they can't do the work that they're here to do. So the infographic is all about my main message. What is my my purpose? What is my point of view, and what is my perspective?
Okay. And let's get into visibility a little bit. Because I just looking at social media and different things that I see, that I think there's a lot of, I don't know if I want to use the word confusion or misconception, but when you say visibility, yes, you have to be visible to, you know, get you, your brand out there. But we'll use two scenarios. You have one business that, you know, I don't have to be in front of the camera, you put all this stuff out, don't ever see me. You're putting everything out there, and you peek every so often, and you have this one person that's always out there, always in front of the camera. When a camera's on, they, you know, turn on that switch, they're smiling, and it's like, I just got to be in front of the camera. The difference between the two visibility, so with marketing, you know, if you could tap into being visible but not overly being visible, and even if you're not that person that's just, you know, not really shy, but just not really a big deal about the camera, you're too far back and have to step up some. So can you kind of, you know, dig into that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question, and I love the way that you frame that, because I would say there is a lot of confusion on social media. I think people really don't know how to use it to the best of their ability and to really optimize what they're doing with any one of the social medias. Now, you have the whole Hollywood group of people that their whole thing is being as visible on Instagram, on whatever, Twitter, wherever they're hanging out, and they've got millions of followers. I mean, that's a whole different conversation. For the average person like myself, you know, because I'm just a woman who started a business 22 years ago and grew it from the ground up. What I know to be true is there are times where the videos do give me the familiarity to my market. If you do videos and you start sharing parts of who you are, when people actually meet you face-to-face, they already feel like they know you. And even if they don't meet you face-to-face, they still feel like they know you. And I'll give you a great example of how I've been able to use it. For my 61st birthday a couple of years ago, I decided to do a marathon. You know, I tend to sometimes stretch myself a little bit, and I thought, okay, I'm going to do a marathon to celebrate my 61st birthday to prove that women over 60 are not too old to do these kinds of things. And I hold the distinction of being the very last person in on 2015, the Eugene Marathon. I was the very last person in, but I made it. I did my 26.2 miles. But during that whole journey, I actually videotaped my workouts. I videotaped conversations that I was having with people around marathoning and how it related to business. And it was so interesting, because what happened was I started attracting more people who were interested, not necessarily in marathons, but in really stretching themselves. And another time that I was doing a fundraiser for a rescue dog that we got, I actually did videos around that. I would videotape Delaney, and I would show, you know, here's what she looks like when we found her, and here's what she looked like after we had her for a while. Well, that opened up opportunity within the pet industry for me. By me being visible around the fact that I did animal, I do animal rescue. I actually now work within the pet industry, and that was not in my master plan. It just happened because I was being visible. Not everybody is meant to be on video for a couple of reasons. One, they're not very good on video. If you're not good, but you know that it would help you, get some coaching around it. The reality is that virtually anything that we're not good at, we can become good at if we get the right kind of coaching. And if we put time into it. But the one thing that I love about video is that it does allow people to become familiar with who you are. And you don't need a lot of expensive equipment. Your iPhone is a great tool to use to start doing video. But in other cases, it's the writing of the articles. It's the writing of the books. It's the doing teleseminars and webinars. It's doing interviews. You don't have to be physically visible, you know, where you're on video, but you can be visible in other ways through putting your content out to market. So really it's about content marketing, and there's many avenues that you can take for content marketing. But if it's somebody that they're always trying to be center stage, they're always trying to upstage other people, that gets a little tiring, and I would say you want to help to build other people up also and give people the respect that they deserve. If you're at a conference, for example, and somebody's on the platform, don't try to upstage the person on the platform. It's their platform. And, you know, don't do things that try to make you look like you're the person that people should turn to when somebody else has been given the stage to express and showcase their expertise. But I would say video is a really important thing to get involved with. And I know that there are some people that have spent a lot of money getting professional videos done before they were really ready to get professional videos done. So, again, it's like anything, practice. Get out there, practice, test the waters, and then when you get good at it, then invest more money into getting a professionally done video.
Awesome. Great advice, great information, and congratulations on the marathon.
Thank you. And I did one. I did better on my 62nd birthday, which was back in May. I finished within the legal time. And it's so interesting, Melissa. I have found such a correlation between training for a marathon and running a business. And actually, the last three-day event that I did, I called it, I said, business is a marathon, not a sprint. Because a lot of times we try to get so much done in such a short period of time before we've really laid a proper foundation. And that's what I learned from the first marathon. I didn't lay a proper foundation. I actually had a coach who advised me on three different areas. She said, you need to train in the power walking, because at the time I was a power walker. Now I run. I needed to drop some weight, and at that time I wasn't willing to do it. Since that time I've dropped 40 pounds. And you need to do resistance training. Well, I did the power walking training, but I didn't lose the weight, and I didn't do the resistance training. And my results showed it. The next year, I did all three, and I had a much better result. So in business, you have to look at all the different areas that you want to focus on, especially online. What are the things that you need to get in place? And one thing that is really advisable is get a good database program. Get a good autoresponder program. Don't try to do everything manually. Because what I see a lot of people do when they're just starting out, they try to do all the work themselves thinking that they're saving money, when in reality, I remember the first autoresponder program we bought, it was GetResponse, and we were going to pay $8 a month, and it was a big decision at that time. It was like, oh my gosh, $8 a month, that's a lot of money, and it was a lot of money back then. And because our business wasn't making much money. And I used to manually send out the emails. And I remember the first time I did a broadcast message with GetResponse, I was blown away. I saved a whole day's work. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. So my recommendation for people who want to really use the online resources available is automate as much as possible. But before you start buying programs and investing in things, look at what your needs are. Look at what you need right now. Look at what you're going to need a year from now and further beyond that, if you can project that. Look at what you're trying to accomplish, and are you being effective by not automating? Because in most cases, you're not.
Absolutely. That, I mean, clearly said. Thank you for saying that. And I love the title, Businesses in Marathon, Not a Sprint. I can see some products being formulated out of that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny because I belong to a mastermind group, Matt Basic. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's been around the Internet since the beginning of time. He's one of the original thought leaders around the Internet, and his business on more than one occasion has done $20 million in a year. And the man is brilliant. And he recently started what is called the Fat Abs Challenge, because he gained a little bit of weight. Actually, he gained a lot of weight. He has a lot of weight to lose. And so he put this challenge out, and all of us in the mastermind were getting involved in what's called the Fat Abs Challenge, and we're all competing with each other to see who's going to get in the best shape. Because truth be told, in virtually anything we do in life, we have to be spiritually balanced, we have to be financially balanced, physically balanced, emotionally balanced, balanced in our business. And the more that we have the balance and the health and well-being around all those areas, the better that we're going to do, because we just can focus more and we don't get stressed out as much. And so really it's about creating an environment for your business where you enjoy what you're doing, you give it 100%, and you know when to let go.
Wow. That's the way to end the show. I love it. But before we sign off, I want you to let everybody know how they can get in touch with you, your social media, website, you know, everything that you want to put out there, your products.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. One thing I would invite people to do, I have a free report on how to hit number one on Amazon, and all they have to do is go to oneonamazon.com, and you spell it out, oneonamazon.com, and it's a really nice 50-page report, very content-driven, that will show you some ways that you can actually get up on the charts on Amazon. They can also visit my website at powerupforprofits.com. That's powerupforprofits.com. And you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Kathleen Gage.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling in and talking with us today. It was a great treat.
Thank you so much. It's been delightful. Okay. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
You do the same.
Thanks. Bye-bye.